we've rushed through things a little bit today as far as songs and everything, just because we have a lot of announcements. I do want to remind you to really try to get everybody you know who's come before for the last Sunday next week here in this building. That'd be a great thing if you could do that, and appreciate that. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. By the way, tonight, 6 p.m., I will be teaching on how to hear the voice of God, or how to know the voice of God, or how to, somewhere along those lines of being on the line with the Lord and hearing from Him, and knowing when it's God's voice and when it's something else. So if you can come for 6 p.m. tonight, I think that would be helpful for you if you'd like to know how the Lord leads. 1 Kings 19. I'm going to start at verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking in the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Let's go ahead, we'll pray, and we'll get into the message. Father, we're in need of your Spirit to work, Father. We pray that you'd help. Lord, there are some hearts and lives and souls that are wounded in this way. We pray that today that one of the devil's tools would be taken away. I pray today that people who need saved would be saved and come to Christ so they can know the joy, Lord. I pray today that you'd speak to us on this subject. May we understand what you have for us, and may our minds not be on a million different things, but just hear from your word and from your Spirit and be comforted and helped. And help us to grasp this, Lord. Help us to see how you think and the blessing that we have from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to grab my water. So we see in this subject, we taught a little on Elijah in Sunday school, and in this passage, we see Elijah. He goes into the wilderness. He goes and drops his servant off on the edge of the wilderness in a city. Then he takes off and goes way in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't make any plans. He doesn't take any food with him, and he goes basically to die. He doesn't want to live anymore. He's very severely depressed. And by the way, that's part of the human condition. Okay, the psychiatrist act like depression means something's broken in you. No, being happy is part of the deal, and being sad is part of the deal. Okay, emotions are just fine. And he was very severely depressed. He was not wanting to live anymore depressed. And I've been there before, and many of you have been there before. He didn't think about his food or anything else. He just gave up, threw up his hands. And that's where he was. I want to talk today on loneliness. I want to talk about a loneliness. Elijah just went, and he had been speaking for God of the nation, and he finally got fed up with the nation destroying everything about God and going to false gods, and then sometimes acting like they're going to serve the Lord and serve Baal and the false idols. And he finally drew the line in the sand and said, okay, today we're going to decide which God's real and choose you this day who you will serve. If the Lord's God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. But do not halt between two opinions. Pick a God and follow him. And so he did that, and God brought a great victory. The prophets of Baal couldn't call fire down. Elijah, of course, showed that God is real, and thank God, amen, our God is real. And the God of the Bible is true, and he's the living God, and we have a wonderful hope. I was praying last night and just saying, you know, Lord, it's so amazing. Heaven's really real, and we're really going to be there forever. Isn't it great? And just having that joy of knowing. And so the whole nation turned back to God. But then he gets a note from Jezebel, the king's wife, who hates him. And she had already killed a bunch of prophets. And she wrote a note to him because her buddies were these false prophets, and they were all killed after the victory. And she sent a letter and said, I'm going to kill you. And she's a very nasty, vicious woman. And she said, I'm going to kill you now also. And he just sunk into a big depression. Ever had somebody say something and just threw you? Yes. And he couldn't get it out of your mind, couldn't get it off your... And the nation turned back to God. You would think that he was all happy and his job was done, but he went into severe depression, and he went in the wilderness, and God comes down and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? In the end of verse 9, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, God's in compassion. The Lord certainly had come to him and given him food. He sent an angel there with him, and anyways, he was there and wanted to die. God cooked him food and had food ready for him there and fed him there and took care of him there and comforted him and gave him what he needed. And by the way, just a note there, not the sermon at all. In the middle of his severe depression, God stops and feeds him. Okay? And I want to say, one of the things you have to understand is a lot of emotional deals are physiological, are physical, are you're eating bad. Your body's full of junk. Listen, if I have too much caffeine, you don't want to be around me. I get very aggressive. I get very angry. There's a lot of things that affect our bodies. My kids, if they have too much sugar, they became basically clinically insane. And so we have to duct tape them up to the wall and leave them there until they're calm down. And kidding, don't call CBS. But our kids are, because there's physical things. And if you eat wrong, i.e. fast food twice a day and energy drinks to keep you going because you have no energy left, don't be surprised when your emotions are very drained emotionally all the time. There are physical reasons. And by the way, if you get proper nutrition, you will feel brighter and happier. And now you can still get depressed and you still will. But in general, that very affects you very greatly. And so God made sure you're not going to need to eat here. So he gave them some food and took care of that. So all that to say is, you know, when you order your Big Mac, order extra lettuce so it's healthy. But try to eat somewhat healthy. You'll find a big difference, and you'll find it helps your body. But especially as you get older. When you're 16, you eat everything, doesn't matter, and you'll say you'll never gain weight and all that stuff. But later on, you'll find out as you eat bad, it affects your emotions and everything else. As does alcohol affects you, as does drugs affect you. And as you'll need them more and more because they are affecting your body more than just your mind, and you'll be more and more. And without them, you will not be able to be happy. Okay? And all that stuff affects you. Boy, I got a lot of free things in there, didn't I? And there we go. Just a few statements on loneliness. Loneliness is very real. Loneliness is. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it said, it's not good for a man to be alone. And he made woman for man because man was not good to be alone. And there is a situation where it is very dangerous and harmful. Loneliness can be severely damaging for us. Okay? And it's very real. And his answer when God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And God is having compassion on him, and God's comforting him. God is not condemning him. He's talking to him and helping him. And Elijah answers verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel has forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek to take my life. Verse 13, God asks him again, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I'm feeling very passionately about you, God, and I'm like this, and nobody gets it, and I'm all alone in this thing. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, have thrown down thine altars, and have slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He feels like he's the only one. I'm the last one left. Nobody else feels it. Nobody else understands the importance of this. Nobody else understands this. And I'm very passionate. This is what my heart is. And nobody gets it. And I'm the last one left. And they're going to try to kill me. And he's very depressed. He's so depressed, he wants to die. It says in verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Loneliness is a very dangerous thing. Now, there's all kinds of loneliness. If I go to a church I've never been to, and the people aren't friendly at the church, I'm lonely at the church, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, whoa, I don't know anybody here. There's minor loneliness. There is your first day at work. There is loneliness where you feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands. There's loneliness that is because literally you've been abandoned by everybody. Or the people you need to love you are not loving you. Or many things can bring loneliness, and everybody's experienced it. Just a few statements, and then I want to give you a few points. Number one, loneliness is real. Number two, everyone faces it sometimes. Number three, it is not just based on how many you have around you or that you are close to. We'll hit that later. Number four, it is a major problem in our society. Loneliness is a major problem in our society. Traditional society, and it's still like this in many places. Overseas, I'll go to a country, and you'll find they have very close communities. The kid feels like he's got 10 parents. Because the next door neighbors take care of them, and they're close to this, and everybody kind of watches out for each other. But you know, in America, neighborliness is gone. How many of you have the good old-fashioned, close to your neighbor, talk over the fence, they watch your house, you're close to them, you have a neighbor like that right now that you're close to, and you have the good old-fashioned neighborly thing of the past. How many of you have that? Okay? One-eighth of you have that. Okay, how many of you grew up with that? Okay? Most of you. So, and by the way, you're in Seattle too. Seattle, everybody's in a bubble. Why are you saying hi to me? I don't know you. Seattle. That's where you are. And this is a society where we're in our bubbles anyway. And so we don't have that. Now, if you have that, it's good. You should have that. Praise God for that. I have that. We have we have two great neighbors, and we have one interesting neighbor. Yeah, but just your neighborhood. But that's part of it. But many people are lonely because they're families. Your family's not close. I grew up in a very distant family. My family was very, very distant. And to this day, my family is not close. I mean, my immediate family is, but my brother's sister's mom, that's all very distant. I mean, friendly but distant type relationships. And it's because our families aren't right. Many couples aren't close. And usually men are the culprits in this. Men are in their own little world. And they don't express their emotions as well as women do. And they close up and button up and don't say how they feel. And in many societies, men think it's a sign of weakness if you ever express anything emotional. And so we have couples that are not close. Children are not close to parents. Strife in families. Divorce. Death. You lose some loved ones. People are not in church as much. Church was a backup community in case your family wasn't right. And also an additional people to be close to. Jesus said, they said, hey, your mom and sister, and mom and brothers are outside. He says, hey, look around you. The people in this room, in the church here, are my brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus said. And so you get close to people, and you become friends with people, and in church, but not as many people go to church anymore. And so in all these things, we are this society that, suffers much more from loneliness. By the way, that's why that's why everybody is so engaged in entertainment. One reason is because they don't have to feel lonely. They're not feeling negative. They can just watch and play it away. I always thought it was the funniest thing when we didn't have a TV for the first 6 years we were married. And everybody's reaction wasn't, oh, that's interesting, or oh, that's a nice thing. The thing they always said was, how do you do that? Well, you mean like you can't chew unless you have a TV? I mean, what do you mean, how do you do it? You don't have a TV. But people are so lonely, they numb themselves in entertainment. And sometimes they make up a false world on the internet with social media. I have 165 people who are my friends. Yes, but the one's in Madagascar, and he doesn't know who you are. Okay? We try to get out of this thing, this loneliness thing, and we try to get it away. And I want to say, it hurts, and it's tough, and it's brutal. And so we've got to go and figure out some thoughts about this. And we see when Elijah, this great man of God, has it, and Elijah suffers great in loneliness, we got to pay attention and say, what can we do about it? Number one, some Bible helps on loneliness. Number one, realize it is caused by many things. Realize it's caused by many things. In Elijah's case, he said, no one is with me in this. You see how he said that? He said, hey, I'm all alone, and the thing I care the most about, nobody else cares about. You know, it's a weird thing about us is we all like someone to be interested in what we're interested in. Do you ever notice when somebody wants you to be interested in something you just don't care about? Like, you can come talk to me about knitting all you want, but I'm really not going to say, oh, really? Is it knit one, purl two, or purl one, knit two? It's just, you know, I might fake it, but I try to talk to someone about sports, and they look at me and say, sports is boring and ungodly. Amen. Oh, okay. And then I don't have that interest in that. And then, you know what? They don't have the interest. That's okay. But it's tough when nobody has your interest. If nobody's interested in what you're interested in, you ever wanted to tell something exciting and nobody cared? Sometimes nobody's interested or nobody's with you in something. Nobody's going through it with you. Nobody understands. You might be a person who's gone through something in your life, you don't know anybody else who's been through it. Everybody has that. I have things in my life that are completely strange. Imagine that. And that nobody, you know, I can never talk to anybody about being in as many car wrecks as I've been in. Nobody's been in as many car wrecks as I've been in. Nobody knows what it's like to get in 3 car wrecks in a month. It's kind of, it just happens all the time to me. People just, what it's like to be invisible when you drive around. That's I'm Wonder Woman in her jet. I mean, people don't see my car and run into me all the time. I can't talk to anybody about it. Nobody understands. You try to explain to people what something's like when you have a passion for something or you've been through something and nobody's been through it. And they don't understand and you're all alone in something. You've been treated in a way that nobody else has been treated, or you want to tell somebody how you're treated, but nobody will understand just how you feel. Sometimes it's no one else understands. Sometimes no one cares. Or you think no one cares. Let's go to Psalm 142. Loneliness. Nobody cares. I'm the only one who's not crazy in this world. Nobody gets it. Or nobody cares about me. Psalm 142. And verse 3, it says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, they had privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, David said, nobody cares. This is David talking. Nobody cares about me. If you're the one who cares about everybody else and nobody cares about you, it gets pretty miserable. If you're the one who cares a lot more than everybody else, you can be pretty lonely. If you're trying to get someone else to give back like you give to them in emotionalness and all the things, and they don't do it, it gets really lonely and heartbreaking. And David expresses that. He says, I looked around and I looked over here and I looked there and I said, nobody cares for my soul. Nobody's worried about me. Nobody's checking on me. Nobody cares how I'm doing. And there's many reasons for loneliness. Sometimes you isolate yourself in order not to be wounded. Sometimes you harden yourself and you act like you don't want anybody because you've been hurt. You've been wounded by somebody. And so you become lonely in self-destruction. And there's many, many reasons that we face loneliness. And it is caused by many things. I might not have hit on what makes you lonely, but there's many things that make us lonely. Number two, but we just see that Elijah and David had different reasons for loneliness. Elijah was nobody understands. David is nobody cares about me. Two different things, both legitimate and real. Number two, realize that being alone and loneliness are different. Realize that being alone and loneliness are different. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, enter into the closet and shut thy door and go between you and your father alone. Okay? That's a good thing to be alone. I'm going to take you back to Genesis. Great moments in the Bible happen to people who are alone. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him into the breaking of the day. Jacob was left alone, and he ended up meeting God and becoming a prince with God and getting great blessings because he was left alone. He had hundreds of people with him, but all of a sudden they were all gone and he was left alone. Jesus says, go alone. Jesus went often. He would send the disciples away and went alone to the mountain to pray. I want to say loneliness and being alone are two different things. Loneliness does not have to do with how many people are around you. We'll show you that a little later. But being alone is very healthy. Everybody needs to get alone sometimes. You need to get alone to pray, for one thing. But it's just healthy to be alone because you can think. It's healthy to be alone to calm down sometimes. It's healthy to be alone because it brings you to the Lord many times. There's nothing wrong with being alone. I want to say this. There's nothing wrong with being single. Okay? Paul said, I wish everybody was single like me. Said, if I had to drag a wife and she'd be in jail all the time, they could threaten me with her. And he says, I don't have to care for the things of the world. I can often go anywhere and do anything. I wish everybody were single. Listen, but Paul wasn't a lonely man. Being single doesn't necessarily mean you're lonely. Or it doesn't necessarily mean there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to say, But sometimes you need to be married because you are lonely. But I want to say, being alone is a healthy thing. There are people in our society who cannot get away from crowds. When everything gets quiet and everybody's gone, they're just messed up. You got to be able to get alone and think. By the way, you do not always have to have noise in your house or around you. You can go in your car, and do you know the radio has an off button? Do you know the TV can be turned off and you don't have to listen to anything? You know, a lot of houses, and I grew up in a house like this where the TV was just on, even if nobody's watching it. It's okay to be alone and quiet. It's healthy to get alone sometimes and be quiet. I understand there's people who isolate themselves to their own destruction. I'm not talking about that. But there is a big difference between being alone and loneliness. I think it's healthy every day to be alone. I think every day you should have some alone time. I think every day you should have some quiet time. I think every day you should have alone time with God. I think being alone is just fine. I think it's okay. I think if you do everything right and have all the protections and things like that, great things can happen when you're alone. As a matter of fact, I'll say this, many times being a loner can help you. Okay? I am a loner. Okay? I am not lonely, but I'm a loner. And I want to say there's a big difference. God makes certain people to be loners. Almost all men of God, who God uses greatly, not saying I'm that, but they're almost all loners in a way. Now you say, Pastor, you got a big family, you got seven kids and a wife, and you guys are very close, and I am. Like, my family's a very good, close family. We spend every night together. We have family time every day. We are a close family. But my nature, whole family would tell you, is I'm my own little world. Okay? And I can be in the middle of a crowd of people, and I'm still alone. Because I'm a loner. I'm just like that. The ladies were talking, I think I told the story. They were talking right here in the front row. I was doing some of the pulpit, and they were sitting there talking, and they were talking about whatever they were talking about after church. And they said, right, Pastor? And I said, what? And they said, you didn't hear us talking? I said, you could have been plotting my death, and I wouldn't have known it. And because I'm my own little land, you know. I'm in my and it's a happy land, by the way. I like my little land. And I'm kind of a loner. But you know what? When I was a teenager, when I started serving the Lord, you know how social teenagers are. Their brains leave them for about 6 or 7 years, and all they can think is people, social, friends. And during that time, when I was a teenager, I lost a lot of my friends because I started serving the Lord. But you know, every night when I was 13, 14, 15, I'd go to our park by my house. I would go sit on these giant boulders up in the park, and I would spend 2 to 3 hours alone just thinking. And looking at the stars, as soon as I became a Christian, that turned into my prayer time. I've never struggled to go alone and pray. A lot of people struggle to pray. I'm very comfortable alone. And by the way, I'm very comfortable with my family. I'm very comfortable at church. But I'm not lonely, but I've always been a loner. When I went to spec the school and the public school, but I couldn't hang around most of the crowds there. I had to spend my lunch break alone. But it's okay because being alone is okay. Being lonely can be very dangerous. And I learned to draw near to God, and so it didn't do me too much damage. David thought, no man cares for my soul. He was very lonely, and he was very sad, because not because he was alone sometimes, but because he felt like nobody cared about him. When you are a person who can be alone and not need people's acceptance, you can stand. And stand for God when it's hard. When you're a person who can be alone, prayer becomes much easier. There's people who just don't like being alone and just don't do well in prayer because of it. They're very social, and for prayer, they have not learned that they're with somebody, and they don't always do that. When a person can be alone, that rejection is not as hard. They don't need people's acceptance as much. The people who can be alone do not ruin their lives because they need to feel accepted by somebody or they feel lonely. A girl doesn't give her body away cheaply because she feels like somebody has to accept her. Because she can be alone, and she can be without a guy, and she can be because they are strong enough to be alone and just fine with being alone, but not necessarily being lonely, because you do not have to be lonely when you're alone. Number three, realize you are not as alone as the devil tells you are. Amen. Realize, see, if I could, and I'd never do this, I said, okay, which one of you feel lonely right now, and which one of you struggle with loneliness, you would be shocked at the people who said, me. Because a lot of them are in a family. A lot of them are people who look like they love, and they're happy, and they're around everybody. Because loneliness is a strange thing. And it's not always logical, and it's not always systematic, where if you have this many friends, then you're not lonely. And if you have this many friends or less, you are lonely. If you're in this marital situation, you are not lonely. Listen, there are a bunch of married people who are very lonely in their marriage. Okay? It is not like that. But basically what happens is the devil tries to tell everybody that they're lonely, because when you feel lonely, you're tempted to do many things that are very dangerous. You could be all the way to suicidal, like Elijah, not suicidal, wanting to die like Elijah, to someone who goes out and does bad things and hangs around a bad crowd, you know, you shouldn't be around because you cannot handle them not accepting you, to being severely depressed, to a bunch of different things when you get into severe loneliness. And you can really mess things up if you don't handle it right. And so you have to understand, loneliness can be very dangerous. And you can do a lot of bad things because of it. Let me take you back to Psalm 142 if you haven't turned there. Psalm 142. Read that sad verse. And verse 4, I looked at my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now remember, the devil, if he can, is trying to get you lonely. See, socialites are actually lonely people. Okay? The people who always have to have a crowd around them are very lonely. That's why rich people sometimes very much struggle with knowing who their friends are, for example. But they have to be around people because they're inside. They don't feel close to anybody, or they'd be satisfied. The Bible says a good man should be satisfied from himself. Proverbs does. And so the devil's trying to get you lonely because lonely people and people in lonely situations are tempted to do things that are wrong, are tempted to get very depressed. And the devil can just mess with your mind and make you really hurt and messed up and even lash out at people because you're lonely. The kid at school who nobody likes, who's lonely, he acts like he hates everybody because that's his coping mechanism to act like he's okay being lonely. You follow? So he turns into a very nasty person. Why? The devil's destroying him through loneliness. Okay? So the devil's trying to get us all to feel lonely, even if it's not logical. Look at Psalm 142. I looked at my right hand, no man, verse 4, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I became very depressed as a kid for a while because in my family, I was, my mom got married. They had three kids from a very successful man, and then they got divorced, and then my mom found a very immoral guy, an alcoholic who just had no character, and got pregnant with me, and then married him for a minute, and then I was the one left over. My dad was never around. Their dad was always around. My dad was a homeless alcoholic. Their dad was a hospital accountant. And took them in and brought them there. I was that one child, the step, all of myself. My mom was so busy working, she was never around. And so I was always alone. I was always the odd one. I was always the one who was different. They knew their dad. I didn't know my dad. They spent time with their dad. Their dad would bring them over. And I was always alone. I was always different from all of them. And so even within my own family, my mom was always working, and I never saw her. My brothers and sisters were distant. My oldest brother's a drug dealer and messed up, and my sister was a mess, and my other brother was abusive and back and forth gone. So I was kind of my own little world there and kind of the odd one. And so I get very depressed because I was alone. And I learned to be alone. But the devil, at times in my life when I was young, until I got saved and got close to God, I was very messed up mentally. I was an emotional wreck until I became a Christian. When I became a Christian, immediately that loneliness drew me to God. And I grew very quickly as a Christian and drew very close to God and never struggled with loneliness. Since 16, I've never struggled with loneliness again. Why? Because I always have somebody with me. The Lord. I won't get to that. So the devil's trying to destroy us through loneliness. David is saying, no man cares for my soul. But wait a minute. I'm going to take you to the passages, but if you go to 1 Samuel, you will find out that David said, I looked at my right hand, there's no man there. I looked at my left hand, no man there. No man cared for my soul was a completely false statement. David was in the cave of Absalom. He was in that cave, and people were coming from all over by the hundreds to be with David and to follow him. All of David's mighty men were with him in that cave. No man cares for your soul, David. Wait a minute. Jonathan, he was in that cave because Jonathan had risked his life and loved him as his own soul, the Bible says, and given him his royal royal robe and protected David from his dad and wept on his shoulder because he loved him so much and saved David's life. Jonathan cared for his soul. And Jonathan wept on his shoulder and said he loved him as his own soul before David went to this cave. And David said, nobody cares about me. You are not as alone as the devil tells you you are. You might have a family and you might say, nobody in my family understands, nobody likes me. Listen, the devil will point out the people who are against you. And David had Saul trying to kill him and all his soldiers. However, somehow the devil puts a blinders over your eyes and says, you're all alone, nobody cares about you, when it's not true. Many times people care, but don't even know how you feel. You don't know who in this room is very lonely right now. You say, no, they're sitting right next to so-and-so. You don't know the relationship. You don't know that they can't express certain things. Loneliness is not logical, necessarily. There's a spiritual war. And anybody, good people, wonderful people, can be trying to get close to somebody, and that person is not letting them get close. And it's the person they long the most to be close to. And they're lonely. And so many times, a lonely person, nobody knows they're lonely. I promise you, if I was lonely, you would never know it. Nobody knows my emotions. I'm my own world, and I don't express things outwardly. I don't walk around and go, or yee. It's just not me. I just don't do that. And so a lot of people are lonely. You don't know it. And the people around them might not know you're alone crying because no one seems to care about you or be paying attention to you. And everybody else thought, oh, I thought I was talking to them. They don't even know. But the devil has a way of isolating people. And it's a strange thing because Elijah left his servant out of town and then went in the wilderness and said, nobody cares for me. I'm all alone. I'm the last one left. We just left somebody who's following you everywhere. And so you don't always know it. Let's go back to our other text, the 1 Kings 19. So it's real and it's powerful and it affects us. And somebody who shouldn't be lonely might make themselves lonely. And the devil's fighting you. And the devil doesn't want people close, because then people who are close can help them. And they can be involved in people's emotions and hearts and souls. So Elijah says twice, I'm the last one left. There's nobody there. First Kings 19, verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left to seek thy life to take it away. And the Lord said, go down and anoint this guy. We're going to make him king. Go do some stuff. And by the way, you know what God told him to do? Do you know what God told this lonely guy to do? The last thing he wanted to do, get out and go be with some people. That's the hardest thing to do when you're lonely. It's the hardest thing for loners to do. It's their worst besetting sin, is loners will not go be with people and be friendly and get the fellowship they need. And they get worse and more messed up. And then pretty soon, they're so isolated in their own thinking, in their own little world, all they can do is look around the world and say, you're messed up, you're weird, you're crazy, I don't like you, you're ugly, and you're strange. And that's the way they look at everybody. Because they get like that. So 1 Kings 19, God sends them out to go anoint people. And then look at verse 18. God's talking to Elijah. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which hath not kissed him. Is he as alone as he thinks he is? He's got 7,000 of him. He just doesn't know it. And guess what? The next verse. He's going through a field, and there's a guy just like him called Elisha. He's going to meet as soon as he gets out. As soon as he gets away. So what happened? He was not alone. There were 7,001. They were like him that had his heart. He was okay. But the devil makes you think nobody cares. Nobody understands. And many times there's a person who thinks you don't care about them. And you're the person who cares about them. And you're saying, why are you isolating yourself from me? Why do you think we don't care? We care. I care about you. Why are you? Because the devil's trying to get people isolated to destroy them, and there's nobody there to help them and guide them. And so the devil is trying to do that. And so realize that the devil is trying to get us to be lonely, not alone. Being alone's good. But lonely, where you are depressed, where you're hopeless, where you cling to anything or anybody, where you isolate yourself. There's so many ways to destroy yourself with the wrong kind of loneliness. You lose your patience for waiting for the right people to come. You do many things when you're like that. There are people the Lord has for you who care. Elisha is going to go with him and follow him, have the same passion as him, and become his servant. And they would, their hearts would beat together in the ministry. He was going to find that person. He got that person, and God sent him that person who was there for him. And had this, and they were odd ducks, those two were. Elijah and Elisha were very strange, very much alike, and very strange. And when Elijah died, Elijah sat there and wept, took his mantle and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" They were knit. You're not as alone as you think you are. You might not be letting people in who are there for you. Now, there are people you can't let in because they hurt you every time, and that makes you alone. And don't let the person hurt you over and over. Okay, you have to find people who you can be close to. But there are good people. And there are people who understand. If they don't understand, they'll at least listen and care. Number one, there are people the Lord has for you who care. Can I say this? I don't know what your situation in life is necessarily. I don't know who or why you struggle with loneliness. We said there's many reasons. I'll say this. I guarantee you have a church that cares. Promise you. You have a church that cares about you. You have a pastor who loves you and cares about you. You know what the strange thing is? When you start to struggle, the first thing the devil's going to do is get you to quit going to church. I just need to get away for a little while. You know, I just need to quit going to church for a while. Yeah, the devil's isolating you. He's going to destroy you. It always happens. 100% of the time. The devil's isolating you, making you alone and then lonely. And then you need to get away because I just need away from people right now. I always laugh when I'll meet somebody who needs to get away from people right now, but they go to a Super Bowl party and go to the bar at night and invite their friends over, but they can't go to church because they need to get away from people. Shouldn't that make you suspicious who's trying to get you to get away from certain people? Number one, the Lord has people who will care for you. Ask God for someone who will understand, who will care for you. And you know what? God will send you somebody, or he'll open your eyes and you'll realize, oh, that person is there for me. Number two, I want to say the most important thing in the message is the Lord is with you. You are never truly alone when you're saved. The Lord is with you. I get a lot of verses. The Lord is with you. Oh, let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalm and 27. Psalm 27 and verse 10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Amen! Isn't that good? When my father and mother forsake me, when my husband forsakes me, when my best friend forsakes me, listen, I've got somebody who will take me up when anybody else is gone. He's the father to the fatherless, the Bible says. Amen? Oh man, I'm more excited than you are. Because I'm in my own happy world here. Psalm 34. When my father and mother forsake me, I don't need to worry about it. The Lord's going to take me up. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That means near. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God says, hey, I'm with you. Let's go to what we read earlier, Psalm 142. David, no man cares for my soul. Watch, he finds out that no man might, but somebody else cares. Psalm 142, verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Verse 4, I looked at my right hand, no man cared for my soul. Verse 5, I cried unto thee. O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He says, you know what? God's what I need. He's my portion. If nobody cares, the Lord's my portion in the land of the living. Hebrews 13:5 says, let us be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. God said, hey, everybody else might bail on you, but I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. You never have to be alone. You never have to be lonely, because even if all men fail you, and all humans do, and humans are messed up, inconsistent creatures who just might. Understand, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. You have one person, and he's the God of the universe, and he can be your all in all. And if you will draw near to him, he's near to those that have a broken heart. He'll take you up when men forsake you. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read to you Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, I am with you. Soul winners have the promise in Matthew 28, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. 1 Peter 5, 7, if you feel lonely, nobody understands, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord knows every burden. The Lord knows every human emotion. And you can go to him. And when nobody else will understand, you can cast your care upon him and tell him just how you feel. You can cast your burdens, your emotion. As Psalm says, I poured out my complaint before him. You never really need to be lonely. Now, hopefully you have people on earth, and I hope you know you have people who care about you. But even if you're in a big family, you can feel alone, like nobody's connected and understands what you're going through, or nobody cares. You can be around a lot of people and still feel that way. But I want to say, you're never, once you're saved, without the Lord who cares about you. And praise God if you have close people, and praise God if you're not lonely. But you know, if you get lonely, you better draw to the Lord. I was very lonely at 16 when I got saved. I had my friends, and I hung around them, and we all went around each other all the time, and we did a lot of things together. And then I became a Christian, and I lost a whole bunch of those friends. Thank God I had one really good friend, and still close friends with them. But you know what? Boy, I started looking and getting close to God. You know what? I find out, though I have a wonderful wife and we're very close and I have great kids who I'm close to and all those things, the truth is, the rock of my life is the Lord. And you can draw close to God. And you can tell God your crazy thoughts and your great dreams that nobody understands and things that people laugh at you about and all the things you feel. And you can express everything to God, and you will find that your loneliness disappears when you draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. James says, make the Lord your best friend. Listen, lonely people, you've got a God who will never leave you for nor forsake you. He loves you, and you never need to be lonely. And he loves you so much, he'll probably also send an Elisha. If you don't have one, he certainly puts you in a church that loves you, with a pastor who loves you, with people who are real and care, and you don't need to be miserable and lonely. Though, I understand, nobody may understand. Nobody may understand, but God does. Last thing I want to say is the only way to get the Lord to be the one who's with you always is accept him as Savior. If you're not saved, if you never trust Christ as your Savior, if you never repent and come to Jesus Christ to save you, the Lord's not with you always. He's only inside those who've been saved. And today you can accept him as Savior. Come to him to take away your sins. Believe he died and rose again. And you'll get a best friend who will never leave you. Loneliness is tough, and every one of you has it sometimes. Every one of us, myself included, we all have that loneliness. We've all experienced it. Every once in a while, all of us will go through it. I want to say, it's okay. Just trust the Lord and be close to him. And don't feel like something's wrong with you because you're alone. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word and all it teaches us about loneliness. Boy, Elijah was in some great danger. Thank you for coming to him. Because ultimately, Lord, he was wanting to die, and then you met with him. And he was okay afterward because you took away his loneliness. You showed him who else there was there for him, and you were there with him. Now, Father, I pray today that all of us who've had some hard knocks and everything's not been easy, or all of us who feel lonely and nobody else knows it, who thinks we have it all together and thinks that everything's great for us, those who are lonely, Lord, I pray today all of us would find our fulfillment in you. I pray today, Lord, that every one of us would draw near to God and you'd help us to not let the devil make us think we are more lonely than we really are and more alone than we really are. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the invitation as only you can, and help us to draw close to you. In Jesus' name. Pianists are going to come. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. We're going to finish very quickly here.